This is 89.1 WEMU, and here's something to think about. Michigan spends $25 million per year on finding PFAS contamination, and 1.9 million residents are drinking municipal water with some detectable levels of the forever chemicals. 2.5 million people in Michigan are on public wells drinking untested water. In Washtenaw County, the Huron River is contaminated enough that there's a do not eat the fish advisory. And fact of the matter is, there is only testing for a very few of the known PFAS chemicals. So it may be worse than we think. I'm David Fair, and welcome to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. As you might expect, lawmakers in Lansing and Washington are trying to create legislation for better protections and cleanup, and there's litigation seeking to further help in the cause of cleanup and better stewardship. Our guest today is up to her elbows in all of these issues. Rebecca Esselman is the Executive Director of the Huron River Watershed Council, and thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, David.
Just as a matter of curiosity, when was the last day you didn't have to discuss PFAS-related issues on one level or another?
I think that dates back to August of 2018 when we received news that the fish of the Do Not Eat Fish advisory that was issued for the Huron River.
And it was interesting. When that advisory came out, it seemed to catch everybody by surprise, and it rapidly expanded to cover, you know, a five-county area of the river. So let's very briefly talk health impact. Some of these chemicals are bioaccumulating, and we've likely been consuming PFAS chemicals for years without knowing it. What dangers do we face now and in the future when it comes specifically to potential health?
A lot of the health impacts associated with PFAS, we only have rudimentary understanding of this so far. The science is trying to catch up on this, and early indications, you know, are linking it to cancers, liver issues, impacts to newborns. There's a myriad of impacts that are being connected back to PFAS and, you know, starting to be understood. A lot of what we're trying to do is we know that there's linkages between PFAS chemicals and health impacts. Let's protect people now to avoid these future impacts.
To a great extent, those of us who have been consuming these chemicals for any period of time, we're going to be the guinea pigs moving forward. There's no way to even potentially project out the financial cost impact on the healthcare system because of this, because we just simply don't know. What we can start to assess is how many sources of PFAS contamination have we identified that are polluting water resources in Washtenaw County right now? What is the known number?
In Washtenaw County, we only have one significant source of PFAS. In the Huron River watershed, there are two significant sources and then a couple of minor ones.
This is WEMU's Issues of the Environment. We're talking with the Huron River Watershed Council's Rebecca Esselman. And let's take it the next step forward. Action plans. Last month, two steps were taken towards better tackling the PFAS issue. The Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy held a series of public input sessions. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's office began taking steps to strengthen PFAS regulations and health standards. And State Attorney General Dana Nessel's office filed a lawsuit in Washtenaw County seeking damages from the 17 chemical companies in the state that it asserts is responsible for a total of 74 known contaminated sites. How vital are these steps collectively to the immediate and long-term health of the Huron River and our collective drinking water supplies?
That collectively word is key here. I think we need to be attacking this issue on all fronts. That includes advocacy, regulatory, and legal action. And so the fact that the legal action and the drinking water standards are being set currently is heartening action.
Is that the step that needs to happen most immediately, setting cumulative standards?
Setting drinking water standards is what's underway currently, and yes, that's a critical first step because that is the primary pathway that people are being exposed to PFAS chemicals.
And then how do we get to the manufacturing base, the chemical companies and producers that are making these forever chemicals that are in so many of our products and now finding out that it's causing greater dangers to both human health and the health of the environment? What do we have to do working in concert with business and industry to ensure a healthier future?
I think this legal action will be precedent setting for that. And, you know, there's legal action in other states on PFAS and on other chemicals. So this is not a new storyline. It's new to us here in Michigan for PFAS. And that's one way to go at it. I would like to see stronger advocacy by both our legislators and the public is on the front end of this pollution equation, which is what you're getting at. You know, we need action that prevents the next chemical crisis and stopping the pollution before it begins. So this means empowering the EPA and the FDA to more effectively vet and regulate chemicals of concern. And as far as the chemical companies go, or the manufacturers of these, a higher burden of proof of safety on those companies before these things come to market.
That is going to take a great deal of conversation and action on both the state and federal levels as they work through regulation and legislation. In the meantime, what actions will the Huron River Watershed Council be doing to ensure a healthy river for the future?
We're engaging on this issue on multiple fronts. We're working with EGLE and other state agencies that are developing standards, and we're actively engaged in those conversations. We provided public comment on the current drinking water standards that are being vetted by the state right now. We're also playing the role of convener and communicator within our communities. So we are regularly coordinating with other agencies that are acting on this issue, including the city of Ann Arbor and Washtenaw County, our neighbors up in Wixom, where one of the major sources of PFAS was identified in 2018. And then serving in the role as a communicator to the public of the best available information we have when we have it, so that people have the answers that they're looking for when they are asking questions about the safety of their drinking water and how they can interact with the river.
As we continue to deal with this increasingly emerging issue of PFAS contamination, your work is going to become even more important, and there's going to be more of it. Does the Rivershed Council have a budget to support all the work that needs to be done?
The Huron River Watershed Council is committed to responding to crises that hit the river as they arise. This is something that, as you implied, will happen from time to time, and we're prepared to react. You know, we're in a strong position to be able to give time to crises when they hit, and we also continue to raise funds to be able to sustain our engagement on these issues over time.
Do you have any sense when we might be able to lift the Do Not Eat Fish Advisory on the Huron River?
I think the Do Not Eat Fish Advisory will be in place for years. This is something that is going to take some time to move through our system. And because the PFAS has accumulated in fish tissue and fish have a lifespan, we're going to be in a period of waiting until kind of the ecosystem and our fish are kind of replenished, and you know, some die and then new ones are born with lower levels of PFAS in the system, they are not going to have that toxic burden. But we're looking probably at 7 to 10 years.
That's a long time. Is anybody projecting out the potential economic impacts of this advisory when you consider all the recreation and all of the activity that is centered around the river?
I would like the Huron River Watershed Council to undertake that effort. We did an economic evaluation of the Huron River a handful of years ago, and I think it'd be really compelling to do it again and look at the before-after impacts of this crisis on the economic value of our river and the impacts that it has that way. It's a little bit easier to put numbers on the cost of cleanup and the cost of monitoring, but there are these hidden costs that can be very significant when something like this hits one of our valued natural resources.
It's going to be very important we all take the long view on this and keep moving forward. But if we are to have this conversation again in early 2021, a year from now, do you think we'll be in a better place than we are today?
I do think we'll be in a better place. If the state action continues to move as swiftly as it has been, we should have adopted drinking water standards, and that is a great leap forward. We'll see how the lawsuit is progressing. It's in its very early stages, so it's hard to know how and when that might help us. But I have been heartened at how how many entities have mobilized quickly and swiftly toward action. And so we should see some real progress by 2021.
Well, thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for the time today, Rebecca.
Thank you, David. It was nice talking with you.
That is Rebecca Esselman, Executive Director of the Huron River Watershed Council and our guest on issues of the environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.